Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Proverbs chapter 12, verses 16 to 23. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 16 to 23. Let's read the passage. The Bible says, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness." Now, I've titled this lesson today, "Every Idle Word," and I get that from Matthew chapter 12. You see, because if the Lord can judge every idle word that comes out of a man's mouth, you know where he says in Matthew chapter 12, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." All right, if God can judge every idle word that comes out of a man's mouth and tell what he was, and if a man's mouth can give a clue as to what is on the inside, that's also Matthew chapter 12, the two verses right before verse 36. They say this, "O generation of vipers," Matthew 12, 34. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." So the mouth is an indication of the heart. If good things come out of the heart, it's a good man. If bad things come out of the heart, that's an evil man. And that's why the Lord judges the idle words that come out, because they give a clue. You see, the Bible says, "Man looketh on the outward appearance." Well, you're not going to look at a man's mouth, but you're going to hear him. "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." One of the ways to look on the heart is to listen to the mouth. I mean, you'll have to be discerning when you do, but rather than worry about judging other people by what they say, because that can be influenced by all kinds of things, your own personal anger, your perception. You know, if you're upset and they say something that further upsets you, you're going to take what they said as an antagonistic comment. If you're feeling good and they say something that's supposed to upset you and doesn't bother you, then they're going to be upset because they meant to bother you and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about you judging somebody else. How about judging yourself? In this text, we have a good quiz by which we can tell, by the idle words proceeding from our mouths, whether we're foolish or whether we're wise. Because that's what he's talking about. He talks here about a fool's wrath, and he talks about a prudent man. He talks about a deceiver, and he talks about a man that's speaking the truth. He talks about somebody that's evil and somebody that's just. He talks about somebody that's prudent and somebody that's a fool, you see. So by examining our own words, don't worry so much about others. I've watched that for a long time. You can't be married as long as I have and not recognize that sometimes when your spouse says something, it doesn't bother you at all, and other times she can say exactly the same thing and you fly right off the handle. What is that? A lot of that is perception. A lot of that has to do with the way you already feel. And if that's the case, then you're not going to be well equipped to judge somebody else too much by what comes out of their mouth unless they're just a bald-faced liar and you can prove it. Okay? So let's just confine ourselves to ourselves. In other words, what are you? Are you a fool? Are you a wise man? Are you a foolish woman? Or are you a wise woman? We'll say, how can we tell? Well, by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different things that are in the text. Number one, angry words. Anywhere, those come out of the mouth. Angry words. Verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Now, you see, here is a fool, and something upsets him or something upsets her, and immediately out goes words from the mouth. Wah! In a vicious tirade. Then you know what that is? And there's no delay. I mean, boom, just the first chance they get. A lot of times they'll hold back in public because they don't want to embarrass themselves. They get in the car and then get with their spouse and, you know, out the thing goes. Or maybe they're in the car and nobody's looking. Something happens and out comes the wrath. And it's presently known. Some can't even contain it. I mean, they're around people they love and out it comes. What is that? It's foolishness. That would indicate if we can't control angry words that we are fools. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. When you look at the qualifications for a bishop in Titus chapter 1, one of the qualifications is that he's not soon angry. Titus 1:7. A bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. You've got to be able to control that. Now, it would indicate that the man is a fool if he can't control his anger, and if it comes out of his mouth. I've watched him. You have too. I've seen it in myself. You might not believe this, and so I don't want to dwell on it because I don't want to burst your bubble. But the truth of the matter is I used to have a vicious anger. All it meant was that I was a fool. I mean, when you boil it all down, and I had to deal with that anger and deal with some things that led to it. And thank God that also changed what came out of the mouth and maybe is an indication that we're on a better road now. At least one of more prudence and wisdom. See, a prudent man, on the other hand, rather than spew off his angry words, he can keep his mouth when something upsets him, and thereby he covers his shame. You see here in verse 16, it says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. I'm telling you, man, there is no worse feeling than the shame you feel after you have blown your stack and blown your cover. I mean, people don't recognize you as a fool if you can keep your... if you keep the lid on it, but when you let the thing spew out, everybody just looks at you and you go, horrors, man, what is this? And, I know how you feel. You go away from the incident, and you feel terrible for what you've done. You're ashamed. And that's why he says a prudent man, in verse 16, covereth shame. All right, angry words are an indication of a fool. Now let's look at it the other way and look at verse 17 and also verse 19 and also verse 22 and notice what he says about true words. True words. Verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness in verse 17. Verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever. Verse 22, a prudent man can, but they that deal truly are his delight. You see that? Now, the converse of the true words would be, from verse 17, a false witness shows forth deceit. From verse 19, a lying tongue is but for a moment. From verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord. So you have the contrast, right? You have the contrast with angry words. If a man doesn't spew those angry words out, he's considered prudent because he covers his shame. And that is smart to do that. And if he lets those words fly and he hurts other people, he looks like a fool, he is a fool. Now that's an evaluation of yourself. Which are you, a fool or a wise man? Likewise, the words are either true or they're false. They're either lies or they're the truth. If they're lying lips, they're abomination to the Lord. If they're true words, then that's a delight to the Lord. If they're the words of truth, then they're established forever. If it's a lying tongue, it's usually expedient. That is, you're just doing it for the moment. And that's what he says, lying tongue is but for a moment. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. All right, now the indication of a righteous man, a wise man, is a man that speaks right. You check him out, and his words are right on the money. Now, how about you? How about you? If we were, I say we, if the Lord were able to take everything you've said in the last 2 days, what is today? Tuesday? All right, if Sunday is the first day of the week, let's say 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, if he were to take everything you've said in 3 days, and he were to examine everything you said against what was really true, would he find that everything you said exactly matched the truth? If he did, then you're a wise man, because you're a man who speaks right. When they check you out, your words are right on the money. The true words of a man are established forever, like the words of the Bible, because they're truth. They're truth. Now, that's a real good evaluation of yourself. Before you ever open your mouth to say anything to anybody, just take about 5 seconds, maybe 50 seconds if you need it, and review what you're about to say and make sure that everything you're about to say could be measured against documented evidence, and that what you're about to say will stand up against the documented evidence and the knowledge of God, and that there'll be nothing contrary at all between the evidence and what you said. If you have to embellish the truth in order to get it across, then it won't hang up. It won't stand up. It's a lie. It's deceit. If it's just a little lie, a little white lie, so that it doesn't seem to have dire consequences, hey, it's still a lie, and it won't stand up to the truth. Then you're a fool. See, a false witness would show you a deceitful man, a fool. If you lie a little from time to time, you're deceitful. That's the condition of your heart. That's what you are, a deceiver like the devil. A truthful man won't lie, but a liar will lie. Why does he lie? Is he a liar because he lied? No, he's a he lied because he's a liar, see? And that's, you've got to face it. That has to be a self-recognition that, hey, I am not a truthful man. I've got to start telling the truth. You say, how do I get it under control? Just make sure, review it in your brain, that what you're about to say will stand up against documented evidence. And if it will, okay. And if it won't, then don't say it. Say it right, or don't say it at all. A lot of people lie a little from time to time. You say, in what respect? Well, like, for instance, when the telephone rings at home and it's a salesman, and you know you made the mistake of picking it up right during supper time, and they say, is your husband home? And you say, no, he's not, but he is. You say, well, that's not that big a deal. I mean, after all, he's a salesman, and what does he care whether my husband's are home or not? He's not going to talk to him anyway, and I just hang up on him. Yeah, but you know what? Your 5-year-old daughter saw you do that. And now all of a sudden, Mama is no longer a truthful person. You know what she is? She's a fool. Why? Because she proved to her daughter that there are times when it is expedient to lie and okay to lie. A liar is just going for what is expedient. The Bible says a lying tongue is but for a moment. And at that moment, you decided you wanted to lie to that salesman and tell him your husband wasn't home. Why don't you just tell the truth? Say, well, if I told the truth, then I'd have to put him on. No, you wouldn't. We're having supper. You just tell him that. We're having supper. Yes, he's home, but you're not going to talk to him and hang up on him. Now you've told your daughter that you can tell the truth, and you can also manage a confrontational thing. Say, that's not that confrontational. No, but people have to learn how to do it. You could say this. You could say, now we're in the middle of supper. May I have your home telephone number, and I'd like to know what time you eat with your family. And at the time that you're eating with your family, I will call you at your home telephone number, and then you can proceed with what you wanted me to tell me. Now you know he'll never give it to you. Okay, then why should he bother you during your supper with your family? If he's not willing for you to talk to him about his business that he's trying to sell you while he's having supper with his own family, what makes him think that he can talk to you about his business during the time that you're eating with your family? Now, that's really a way to handle it. It's also the truth. It's right. And then your 5-year-old daughter doesn't have to worry about you being a liar, see? Then your 5-year-old daughter will lie to you and say, well, and then you'll punish her for doing that, and then she'll be thinking in her own mind, well, my mother can lie about whether my father's home or not. Why can't I lie about whether or not I was talking on the telephone to my little friend? You see, the liar is abomination to the Lord and thus winds up with the devil in the lake of fire. I'm serious. Now, if you're a saved man or a woman, you're not going to wind up in the lake of fire. You already escaped it. But why should you continue to act like somebody who's on their way to the lake of fire? You see, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, that the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. All right, Revelation 21, 8 says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, the devil, we know he's going into the lake of fire, and we know that he is a liar and the father of it. He can't tell the truth. Then why should you act like the devil, and why should you act like the devil's crowd that's going to wind up in the lake of fire? You're a Christian. Or if you're not a Christian, you ought to be one, and then you ought to live like one. The Lord is delighted with the words of truth. There's wisdom in that. If you know that you can delight the Lord by speaking the truth, then why don't you do that instead of delighting the devil and telling a lie? Proverbs 12:22 says, they that deal truly are his delight, and lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Now, you want to be abomination to the Lord and still call him your father? I don't think so. Then learn to tell true words. Every idle word, see, it's an indication of your heart. You say, you know what, I sure wish we were talking about our friends right now, because I know a fellow right there, and he's angry all the time, and he never tells the truth. I wish you were talking about him, but I'm not. He's probably not listening, but you are. So I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me, see. We've got to evaluate our own hearts by what comes out of the mouth. And if it's angry words, then okay, we're fools. If it's true words, then we're wise. If you can keep the angry words in, you're wise. If you got a lie to get something by in your business or whatever it is that you do, those are not true words. You're a liar. Therefore, you're a fool. You're just working for the expedient. Okay, let's move on. Okay, we've drummed that well enough. Let's go on to something else. How about murderous words? Murderous words. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. All right, murderous words. Murderous words. That's why you pierce somebody with a sword, by the way. You speak to the destruction of others. Character assassination. Destroying their reputation. Your words are like a sword. Now, don't tell me that you've never at least been tempted to do that when somebody's hurt you. Psalm 64, verse 3 says about people that do this, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. You've never run somebody down. Huh? Every idle word, man, it's an indication of the heart. When you speak to the destruction of others, when you assassinate their character, your words are like a sword. That makes you a fool. Listen, God is the judge of them, not you. And you are not going to bring down a man or a woman that God wants to use by your murderous words. God will turn that stuff against you. It's happened so many times before. I've done it, and it's been done to me. People say things to try to stop the work of God. People say things because they get mad, and what comes out of the mouth are murderous words. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. If they could gobble you up with their mouth, they would. Paul talked about that kind in Galatians chapter 5. He says, if you're going to do that kind of stuff, he said, don't devour one another. And that's how bad it gets. He says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. It can get bad, man. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can be wise. The words of the wise man will be like health. Look at that thing again in verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now listen, if you think about it, your doctor just doesn't pat you on the back and tell you you're a good little boy and send you back to the house. Sometimes, your doctor has to use a scalpel to heal you. He may have to cut you, but his goal is your health, and so he's wise. I know they call that among, you know, the psychology circles, they call that tough love, whatever. The point, very simply, is there are times when you have to speak very directly, and what you say may actually hurt the other person, like Paul hurt the Corinthians when he spoke to them about the trouble with that young man that was sleeping with his father's wife. He made them sorry, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, but he said, I didn't do that for your grief, I did that for your health, man. And sometimes you have to say things that are hard to say and hard to be received, but because your mouth is like a doctor's scalpel, there is health in what you say. Jesus had to turn on Peter one time and say, get thee behind me, Satan. That was a terrible thing to have to address directly to Peter. He had to tell Peter one time, he says, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. That was a hard thing for him to say. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Hard thing to say. But there was health in all of it. And so don't be a fool with murderous words where you use your tongue like the piercings of a sword just to tear people up all the time. If you do have to say something, say it right to their face or do not say it at all. And when you do, say it with enough compassion. You know, you always talk about the doctor's bedside manner, with enough compassion that they know what you're saying is there for their help. All right? Every idle word. What kind of heart do you have? A fool's heart or a wise man's heart? Murderous words or doctor's words? Health or destruction? How about this one? Peaceful words, verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Now, these are the words of a wise man, and they result in joy. Like you and me, if you're saved, we have the ministry of reconciliation. That means Christ is in us. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and then Christ is in us, and we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. That's called the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. That's what we have. And we use our mouths as wise men to tell others who are on their way to hell that they can have peace with God if they'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's great. But the deceiver, what he'll do is he'll use a peaceful presentation to trick you. And that, therefore, he's a fool. But he's like the foolish shepherd. You see, in Daniel chapter 8, when you see the Antichrist come to the throne of world power, you know how he does it? By peace. And by peace he shall destroy many. That's how he does it. He speaks peacefully, but there's no peace in his heart. Why? Because the Bible says he is a foolish shepherd in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 17. Let's see, Zechariah, yeah, he is a idle shepherd in 17. In verse 15, he is a foolish shepherd. Why? Because he comes in peaceably, but he's not interested in peace. War's in his heart. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, when they say peace and safety, see, those are nice words, peace, that's a nice word, safety, that's a nice word. Sounds an awful like what's going on with the politicians worldwide today. Peace in the Middle East, okay. And then safety, let's see, what do they call that, homeland security, okay. When they start saying that stuff, you know what comes? Sudden destruction. Those peaceful words that are spoken by politicians who unknowingly are playing into the hand of, eventually, the Antichrist. And I say it unknowingly because, I mean, it sounds noble if they read the Bible and believe what the Bible says. And you know that many of them can't do that because, you know, separation of church and state, you understand. Thank God we have some Christian men that are in the legislature, but not all of them. A lot of them aren't. And so what happens is they say the right words that get you idea, but that's all deceit because they cannot bring peace to this earth. They cannot do it. Only Jesus can. Peace in this earth requires righteousness, so they can't do that. And it requires peace in this earth requires purity, and they're not going to do that. Those things come by Jesus Christ. Okay? So these are the words of a wise man, peaceful words, ones that result in peace between you and God. Between men that are not reconciled. Now, are you a wise man with peaceful words? Are you a fool deceiving people with words that sound like peace when, in fact, you are interested in something else? See, the mouth that we use to speak is an indication of what's in our hearts. And finally this, knowledgeable words in verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Now, there is something interesting. If you really know something, then you're a prudent man, you conceal the knowledge. You don't tell everything you know, just what you need to answer the question. A wise man who really knows something just bides his time and his mouth. You can draw it out of him, but he's not going to run around like these talk show hosts and keep proclaiming his egotistical wisdom for the day. Don't you get tired of that stuff after a while? Just yakety-yakety-yak about what we know today. Listen. One young man, I think I told you this before, and I'm not going to take a lot of time with the illustration, talked to an old senator to find out why he was so successful. He said, well, good decisions? He said, young man was frustrated. He wanted him to elaborate. He said, how'd you learn to make good decisions? The fellow thought for a second. He said, experience. He said, you know, he wants him to elaborate, and the guy wasn't doing it. He said, so where'd you get all the experience? He said, bad decisions. He said five words, good decisions, experience, bad decisions, but right there is a lifetime toward the success of any man, right there. Why? A knowledgeable man doesn't have to say a whole lot. Why? He can conceal the rest of his knowledge. There is the answer right there. Now, when a man knows, he comes to the point. If you find a man on the witness stand and he's asked by the attorney, either side or the judge, to give an answer, he is going to come right to the point. When he has to elaborate and beat around the bush, he doesn't know what he's talking about. A wise man who has knowledge, knows most of the world, is not interested in what he knows, so he's not going to waste his time trying to convince them. After all, he's right. But you know about the fool? The fool is just going to shoot off his mouth. The Bible says, the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Just yakking, yakking, yakking. It's like guys down at the coffee shop or guys down at the bar. Just yakety, 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 yak. You know what the Bible calls what I'm doing right now? It calls it the foolishness of preaching. You know why? Because for 30 minutes I've been shooting off my mouth, nearly 30 minutes. But in this particular case, these words are true words, and they're a delight to the Lord. So while it's the foolishness of preaching, there's wisdom in it. If you'd follow these things and examine your own heart, you could examine whether you're a fool or a wise man, and if you're a fool, you could learn to be wise. The question is, are you a fool or are you wise, and what do you want to be? Well, if you're a fool, you're going to spew out angry words. You're going to deceive people from time to time. You know, little lies here and there. Murderous words, you're going to run people down. Deceitful words, you're going to talk like you want to make peace with them, but really and truly, you're not interested in that. You're only interested in your own selfish agenda, so to speak. Or foolish words, just spouting off things you think you know something about. That's a fool. A wise man, he'll keep the angry words to himself. He'll only speak the truth. If he does have to say something hard, it's going to be like the scalpel of a doctor to help you. He's interested in your peaceful reconciliation with him and with God. And when he does speak, he contains himself briefly because he knows exactly what he's talking about. Okay, that's a pretty good quiz. Let's all go about to be wise then. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.